You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
My message this morning and what I want to share with you is to stand firm. That's the title of my message today, Stand Firm. Stand firm. And I speak this over each and every single one of us today. In the midst of living our lives, we stand unmoved. We stand unshaken and we stand resolute in the hope of our salvation and the call to grow and go. Amen. I speak it over each and every single one of us. Can I say it one more time? In the midst of living our lives, we stand unmoved. We stand unshaken and resolute in the hope of our salvation and the hope of our call to grow and go into Jesus' perfect image. Amen. Well, the first scripture I want to share with you today around my message of stand firm is this. It's in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 14 to 17. And this is what the passage says for each and every one of us today, just as you're reading along on the screen. Verse 14, it says this. He called you to salvation when he told you the good news. Now you can share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15, with all these things in mind, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm and keep a strong grip on the teaching we passed on to you both in person and by letter. For each of us today, can I encourage you that he called you, Jesus called you to salvation when you heard the good news for the first time. And with all these things that are happening right now and all these things in mind that's going on in our lives, can I encourage you, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Keep a strong grip on the teaching of Jesus Christ. Do not be swayed by opinion. Do not be swayed by anything else other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 16. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal comfort and a wonderful hope. That is good news this morning. Verse 17, comfort you and strengthen you in every good thing you do and say. See, the Lord Jesus, by his beautiful and wonderful grace, he gave us eternal comfort and wonderful hope. And I pray even at this very moment in time that he comfort you and strengthen you in every good thing you do and every good thing that you say. Amen. Now, today I'm passing on to you a fresh revelation of what God has done for each of us. I'm passing on to you a reminder of what God's word says and what he has done through Jesus. Don't forget, don't let it grow dim. Jesus loves you, and by his grace, he's released salvation and eternal hope and comfort to each and every single one of us. You are called to your salvation. He called you to your salvation. It wasn't an opt-in or opt-out. He called you by name to your salvation. It's not a flimsy choice that you made. See, when you heard the good news of Jesus, it resonated within you. You know this to be true. I know it to be true. See, when you responded to the good news of Jesus, he made a way for you not just to know God, but be known by God. Not just to have heard of God, but to be known by him. And the encouragement from God to you and I today is to stand firm, to keep a strong hold and understanding of the teaching that has been given to you through the Word of God, the Bible, Jesus. God is a God who offers salvation, hope, comfort, and strength. Maybe you're tuning in for the first time today. I want to encourage you with all the things that you've heard about God, with all the opinions that people have about God, I speak to you the word of God today, that God is a God who offers salvation through Jesus. He's a God who offers hope. He's a God who offers comfort and strength. let that counter everything else you've heard. See, in our words and in our deeds today, may you and I be strengthened by God in our words and our deeds, by what we do and what we say. Let's be strengthened by the conversations, by our actions, by our posts, by our conversations. Let all these things be strengthened in you by Jesus. Yes, that's right. You heard what I said. Even in our posts, by our actions, our deeds, and our posts. Amen. So if you need comfort today, be comforted by Jesus. If you need strength today, be strengthened by Jesus. And let it overflow into the good things that you do and say. Let your behavior match the hope that you have inside your heart. Can I say that one more time today? Let your behavior match the hope that you have inside your heart. Can I say that one more time today? You're going to get this and it's going to be like, ooh. Let your behavior match the hope that you have inside your heart. And see, these practices are affirmed in 1 Corinthians 16, 13 to 14. And this is what it says. Be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. And do everything with love. Everything, what we do, what we say, what we post, it matches the hope on the inside of our heart. Stand firm in the faith. Amen. This morning, one of my points today is the work of the Lord. He's like, the work of the Lord. Yeah, the work of the Lord. And see, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, this is what it says. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. What you do for the Lord, standing firm in your faith, is not in vain. See, again, we're encouraged in the Word of God today to stand firm in our faith. And I put it out there today that we're not being moved by anything. Our hearts are moved by God alone and His love and grace and mercy and His kindness towards us. And everything else, we stand firm. Amen. See, and lastly, in that passage of Scripture, it encourages us to commit fully to the work of the Lord. It's not in vain. It's not a wasteful effort when you commit to His call on your life. So what is the work of the Lord? What is the Lord's work? You may have had many examples shared with you by other people who maybe are a little bit fringy on church and what they think the Lord's work is. But what does the Bible say that the Lord's work is? What is the work of the Lord? And I want us to look at the life of Jesus, because He is the Lord. And I think we should look at the life of Jesus to figure out what the Lord's work is. My opinion is not good enough. Somebody else's opinion is not good enough. But the Word of God and the life of Jesus is good enough. Amen. And so I want us to look at the life and the practices of Jesus and what He implemented from a very young age. See, after all, we know that good practices shape healthy outcomes. In our physical body, in our spiritual life, in our mental health, good, healthy practices shape healthy outcomes. Amen. See, in Luke 2, 41 to 52, we find that Jesus spends time in the temple. He hones His understanding about the Word of God, and He grows in His ability to talk to others about the Bible and its meaning. And the outcome of Jesus devoting Himself to the Lord's work is found in Luke 2:52. This is what it says. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and all people. Why did that happen? Because He devoted Himself to the Lord's work. What was the Lord's work at that time of His life? Spending time in the Word of God, understanding the scriptures, letting it build him up on the inside, sharing it with others. And as he did that, he grew in stature, in age, but also in wisdom. He grew in favor with God and others. When we commit ourselves to the Lord's work, amen. See, devoting yourself to the Lord's work will cause you to grow in wisdom. Devoting yourself to the Bible and the teachings of Jesus, the Word of God, will cause you to grow in wisdom and understanding, and it will cause you to have favor with God and others. See, if you constantly find yourself out of favor with people, in conflict with yourself, in conflict with people, and you're not growing in your biblical wisdom around how to deal with these things, could it be that it's time to submit yourself to the purity of the Lord's work? Allow yourself to commit to the teachings of the Word of God. Hone your understanding, hone your wisdom in the Word of God. Maybe it's time to devote yourself and surrender yourself to grow in the Word of God, to grow in the wisdom of the Word of God, to grow deep in the teachings of Jesus. Amen. See, as disciples of Jesus, you're called to grow in wisdom. You're called to grow in favor with God and people, just as Jesus did. Because a disciple is a follower of Jesus. We follow his ways in our actions and our deeds. Amen. So my encouragement to you today is stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the Lord's work, to the work of the Lord. You know, in Colossians 2 verse 7 in the NLT translation, we find one of our passages of scripture for this year. And it says, let your roots grow down into him. Let your lives be built on him. Let your faith, then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Our roots have to grow deep into Jesus. In everything that he taught, in everything that he teaches, our roots have to grow deep into him. It's about growing into the likeness of Jesus. This is the Lord's work. Allow your life and all of its parts to be built on him. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. What else is the word that the Lord's work? In Mark 16, verse 15, this is what our other passage of scripture for this year. It says this in verse 15. And then he told them, you are to go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone, everywhere. This is also the Lord's work. This is what Jesus did, and this is what he's asked us to join him in doing. This is the mission of God, the Great Commission. Going to the world, to all people, to share the good news to everyone, everywhere. It's the Lord's work. God has called you to share the good news with everyone, everywhere. See, just as Jesus did, he found himself in varied spaces and places, sharing the hope of salvation and restoration to God with anyone who would listen. In Mark 16, Jesus set Mary Magdalene free. In John 3, Jesus sent Nicodemus a message of the gospel. He was a religious leader of the day. He spent time with anyone and everyone. In Luke 19, Zacchaeus, the tax collector, who was of questionable honor in his community, Jesus spent time with him. In John 4, the woman at the well who had many husbands, Jesus spent time with her, sharing the good news to anyone and everyone who would listen. In John 8, the adulterous woman whom he stood up for and forgave her sins, spent time with her. In Luke 23, the dying thief who joined him in eternity because of his faith, Jesus was prepared anywhere and everywhere, even on the cross, was prepared to spend time with someone, everyone, everywhere, anyone who would listen. See, this is Jesus doing the Lord's work for everyone, everywhere. This is Jesus standing firm. And my question for you today is, If you're called to the life of Jesus as a disciple of Jesus, if you're called to do the Lord's work for everyone everywhere, if you're called to stand firm in this, my question is this. Who is your everyone and where is your everywhere? I'll say it again. Who is your everyone and where is your everywhere? In Acts 13, verse 47, this is what the Lord has spoken to us. This is the word of God for you today. This is what the Lord told us to do. I have made you a light for other nations to show people all over the world the way to be saved. Who is your everyone and where is your everywhere? You've been made a light. You've been made a beacon light, a beacon of hope, a beacon of salvation, a beacon to point people to Jesus, to show people all over the world the way to be saved. Where is your everywhere? Is it Coles? Is it Woolworths? Is it Kmart? Everyone's called Kmart, amen. Just not at the moment. See, wherever you are, wherever your everywhere is, God has called you as a beacon light of hope and salvation. Wherever, to whoever. See, you and your life, it is a light for people to see Jesus. To show people, your family, your friends, neighbors, people in your community, people who God just brings across your path. Let's be honest, some of those people that Jesus spent time with and shared the gospel of hope with, they weren't people who lived in his neighborhood. He didn't meet them at Coles. He was out of his way going somewhere and God just intervened in the life of another. And God has called you, just like Jesus, to intervene in the lives of others, to bring the good news of hope. For all of us today, we need the encouragement, all of us, to use our faith to be strengthened. You know, in Jude 1:20, just as Bevan and Emily come this morning, in Jude 1 verse 20, it says this, "But you, dear friends, use your most holy faith to build yourselves up even stronger. Pray with the help of the Holy Spirit." See, this is something that I've had to do personally in this last season. In the midst of things not working out how I thought they would work out or should work out, going back to the place where the Spirit can breathe faith and strength into my life again. See, I want to encourage you today. Let's join the Word of God this morning. Let's join together and let's use our most holy faith, even if it's just a glimmer. Let's build ourselves up even stronger. Let's stand firm in the good news. Let's stand firm in the faith that we've been called to. See, my encouragement to you today is to stand firm. Be committed to the Lord's work of growing and going, and use your faith to build yourself up in Jesus with the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so I speak this over you. You are called. You are set apart to join Jesus in the Lord's work. You are called. You are set apart to join Jesus in the Lord's work. The Lord's work, growing deep in the Word of God, gaining wisdom, gaining faith, favor, stature. The Lord's work, going and sharing with everyone, anywhere who would listen. Amen. You know, for those of you who are joining today and don't know the hope and forgiveness of Jesus, maybe this is the first time you've heard of the hope and forgiveness of Jesus. This is why Jesus went to the cross on behalf of all humanity, to make a way for us to come back into relationship with God. And he has hope for you, grace for you, love for you. God loves you personally. Maybe you've been through a season or a period of time where you're like, I don't know if God loves me. People have told me that God doesn't love me. How could God love someone like you? Maybe you've told yourself, how could God love me? God would never love me. I counter that this morning. that God sent Jesus to all humanity because he loved us. He wanted to restore us into relationship with him. He doesn't want us to battle with that internal conflict. He wants us to be restored, full of hope, full of love. Now, to know Jesus personally and receive forgiveness for our sins, the Bible is really clear about what it is that we need to do. In 1 John 4:15, it says this. Love this passage of Scripture. If you've been doubting whether or not that you're loved by God, if you've been doubting whether or not that God could love you, listen to this passage of Scripture. Anyone who says, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, is a person who lives in God, and God lives in that person. Verse 16 goes on to say, so we know the love that God has for us. We trust that love. So confessing that Jesus is the Son of God and believing in your heart, this is the way. This is the way to salvation. This is the way to hope. This is the way to restoration with God. This is the way to have that internal conflict healed and restored. This is a way for your mind, your body, your spirit to be restored and brought back into line with the love of God. If you don't know him today, if you're not known by him today, this is your moment to pray a prayer after me that says, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. What does that passage of Scripture say? Anyone who says, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, is a person that lives in God and God lives in them. This is where God comes and dwells in your heart and you're known by him, no longer by yourself, but in perfect relationship with God. So if that's you today, in a moment, we're going to pray a prayer. Whether you're watching live online this morning, whether you're watching this at a later time, this is your moment. God is intervening in your world. God has sent me to you right now to intervene in your world, to share the good news of Jesus with you. This is your moment to be known by him. If that's you, why don't you pray this prayer after me this morning? Why don't you close your eyes where you're at this morning? Pray this prayer after me. Dear God, I thank you that you sent Jesus. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And I thank you that even as I confess that, you've come to live in me. I'm known by you. Forgive me of my sin. I surrender my life to you. And from this day on, I choose to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you pray that prayer for the first time or you prayed it again, I just want to encourage you. Well done. Well done for making a decision to believe in Jesus and follow Jesus. If you're watching online today and you're like, what do I do next? Can I encourage you to go to gc.org.au/first steps? There's a whole lot of information there about how to follow Jesus, how to get in touch with us so that we can encourage you on that journey in following Jesus.